All right, let's go, baby. What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to Fresh and Fit.
Are you sure?
Fresh and Fit.
It's a Ohio. Long story.
It's a long story behind that name, but it's all good. I mean, you know, they're it's a company in Miami.
Podcast in Miami.
Miami, you're right. Yeah, they want to purchase our name, so we'll see.
For how much?
We'll talk.
Oh, okay. So this episode moving forward could be it could be like one of those gold episodes, because it might be this might be the last one.
This might be the last one.
We don't know.
Okay. So if they purchase it, what are your other options? What are you thinking?
I'm not telling. I don't even want
to. We can't say.
I don't even want to. Nope. We're desperate. I don't want to change the name.
Can I? Wink, wink. If you come up with a crafty idea, we'll hear it.
Okay. Yeah. So everybody, what's up? I should probably needs no introductions, but this is Get Up to Par. This is Sabrina Par. Sabrina Par is what I would call, respectfully, a hood legend.
Oh, okay.
A hood legend. Because, like, when I was in high school, everybody talked about Sabrina Par, how fast she was. She was like, like Flo-Jo of high school.
Of Cleveland,
right? So everybody, I was very grateful. I got the opportunity to work out with Sabrina and saw how hard she worked, how hard she trained, and I was like, oh, that's why she's Flo-Jo.
I went to Rhodes, so I had the honor to
that
see you
where
burn our girls.
Your face from.
Yeah. Did she burn them?
They have some pretty decent girls, though.
Yeah. Like
Francine Jennings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Francine. I remember Francine. And then it was another girl who was the same year as Francine. She was a sprinter. I can't remember her name, but they used to have a decent relay. I will say that.
We had a girl, I think she was Sadea. Yeah.
Sadea was a long distance runner. She was really good in like the 2 mile to 3 mile.
Yeah.
I used to always lose to her at the cross country meets. I mean, but that just lets you know how competitive I was.
Why are you even doing that?
Exactly.
You're a sprinter.
Did you guys have to do cross country being on the track team?
Have to know. Did we understand that it would help us for the track season? Absolutely. Okay. So anything that I knew would help me, I was up to do it. So cross country was one of those things. I did it and I took it seriously.
That's why you guys were different.
Yes, for
like
sure.
Like really different.
We were.
Yeah. So do you want to have a Cat Williams moment right now? Is there anybody feel like airing out right now?
Cat Williams has enough money to like witness protection.
Yeah,
me, I'll probably get Guy on my way to the car.
hey, for sure, because I'll be wanting to air people out. I ain't gonna lie, I'll be wanting to air being in LA, being around certain people, doing some things. I'm like, hey,
we want to air out.
I'm just telling you, I'm not gonna say
that. Like,
I don't want to though.
But what I did see, I feel like he felt like those people wronged him.
Yep.
He wasn't just talking about people. Like, he had a gripe with those people individually.
Yeah.
And for me personally, I spent so much time healing and getting through it so that it doesn't even become like something I'm holding on to and I'm dying to let out. Mm.
You said something very crucial, healing and getting through it.
Yes.
So what steps do you take to heal when someone has wronged you? Like, what steps have you taken to heal through something that you feel like this person did me dirty? Like, how have you, like, done that?
So it depends on who they are to me. So if it's a family member that I know I can't cut off, then I will take different steps. If it's, like, a love interest that I know, like, we don't have children together, we don't have any financial assets, and I can really cut him off, that would be different than like a family member. But so which one do you want me to describe? Because they're different sets.
So
let's discuss family, because I believe you can cut your family off. So, I believe certain family members you can cut off.
Some you can, but not all. But
I think there's a difference with cutting off and avoiding.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, maybe family first.
Let's go family. So I've had to do this. So if anyone knows a bit, any part of my story, they know that I grew up in a very volatile environment, wasn't very close to my parents. Excuse me. So a lot of things that I experienced just from them, I had to heal from, but still wanted a relationship with them. I just needed a better relationship. So for example, my father, first of all, I had to do therapy. Let's just start there. Specific therapy where I am only working through this family member, right? And then my church had offered before the pandemic a program called Grief Recovery.
Mm.
And you would go through Grief Recovery specifically for one piece of grief. So if you had more than one, you would take the class again to specifically focus on that. Because at the end of grief recovery, you write a letter to whoever that person is, whatever that thing is that caused you that grief.
Did you find that doing that exposed other areas of grief in your life?
100%. And it helped me figure out how one piece of grief can actually cause more grief to another situation. It helped me figure out what my triggers were. So if you said something right now that reminded me of that person, I may take it out on you, and it, you're so unrelated. And that's what happens when you're healing, and what can happen when you're not healing, you just can't identify it. I can identify it now because I went through the healing process. Mm. What were you about to say, James? Look like you were.
No, I just think that's very important that you said that, because when I'm dealing with someone, I'm trying to heal through them. Sometimes, like you said, you got certain triggers. And you take it one at a time, because that helps you to receive where the relationship between certain people and certain things happen. So I think that's very important that you did it that way. I've never heard of that process or thing, but that makes sense to basically take them out one at a time, and that way you can build and grow from there. That's perfect.
But this is the thing. Once I get through the grieving process of one thing or person, it then gives me strength to move on to the next one.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's like, even if with like exercise, and I like to relate everything to like exercise and
sports. I do the same thing.
So I achieve a goal. Let's just say I have a deadlifting goal. Once I achieve that, no matter how hard it was to get there,
it's gruesome.
I have many failures. There's so many days I just could not pick this weight up. So the day I can finally deadlift this weight, well, guess what? Now I'm ready for the next goal.
Yep.
Oh, because I'm like, oh, if I can do that, I can do this. And I know it's going to be just as challenging, but every win creates another win.
Yeah.
So, but to get back to what you really originally said, how did I heal? A lot of self-talk, and a lot of loneliness. So it's hard to heal from a person while you're still dealing with the person. So you really got to create some separation, even if it's temporary. And they're not going to understand why you're cutting them off. It's not for them. You don't literally say like, hey, I'm grieving from you, so I'll get back to you. You know, it's like
what?
You know what? I got to just cut you off cold turkey for a little while. And then maybe I can come back and say, hey, it's okay. We have a conversation. And then I can explain, you know, this happened to me. I had to go through this. I apologize if it caused you any pain. Moving forward, this is how we have to operate if we're going to have any relationship.
Man, I think it takes so much maturity and just being in tune with yourself to be able to make that decision. And then not just make the decision, because how many times have we had that conversation with someone and then we talk to them the next day, or we deal with them?
Discipline.
You know? Yeah.
But this is why a therapist helps, because they help you stay accountable.
Right.
Because they're like, did you call them today? And you're like, oh, I did. Yeah. I thought we agreed that you weren't going to do this. If you know you want to get through A, B, and C, you can't do D. And so it's like, yeah, you're right. So let me start over.
So something that I've experienced is I've forgiven someone who's done something to me. I've actually apologized for my wrongings too. And then I noticed that they're not taking the same steps as I'm taking.
Oh, it never does.
So now it's like they're still at that place. And then I was like, well, now I can't build and grow with you. I just got to move on from you. I've forgiven you. I've did some work, self-improvement myself, and I realized like where I messed up. And then I say, well, here's where you hurt me. And as a man, it's so hard to say you hurt me. That's a very vulnerable thing to say as a man. Yeah. And so I've said that, you know what I'm saying? And then to say that, and then that person's not receptive, or they haven't done the work and they just still put everything on you. It's like, you know what? Fuck you.
Okay. So let me speak on that because it wasn't until, it took me a long time to understand that grieving and forgiveness had nothing to do with the other person's actions.
Mm.
So when you really get to a point to where you're okay, no matter how they respond, you have truly healed.
Mm.
And that takes a while, because forgiveness is not saying, I'm not mad at you anymore, so I'm ready for you to apologize. Like, that is what we say. Okay. It's literally saying I'm no longer willing to carry this burden,
right,
no matter if you change or not.
Right, period.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I understand, like, there are certain things about my father. I love him to death, but there's certain things he's not going to ever change. Like, he's almost 70. he may be stuck at where he's going to be, right?
Right.
So with me having this understanding, how counterproductive is it for me to still say, like, Dad, you're supposed to be doing this, or Dad, you used to do this, and you're still doing
it. Oh, you drive yourself crazy.
Right. So the forgiveness and the healing says it doesn't matter what he does, I'm not going to allow it to bother me or sway my emotions the way that it used to. And okay. I have to accept him where he is. But that means creating boundaries. So what you didn't, what I didn't hear you say was they didn't change. They didn't apologize. They still put it all on me. And I was okay with that because I had a boundary. Yeah. You have boundaries. It's like, you can't harm me anymore though.
Yeah, no.
So for healing and saying, you know what, you hurt me. It took a while. Let me apologize for the things that I did. But moving forward, you can't do this to me anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, or this will be the result.
No.
So now it's your choice.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, this is how we rock it moving forward. If you don't, you're not on this wave, then cool. I'm fine with that. But one thing, I'm standing on business this year. This my year. I said, God.
Everybody's standing on business this year.
Hey, this year is a standing on business year. Man, I've set so many boundaries, and I feel so light. Like, I feel lighter. I feel free because I have a people-pleasing, way about me sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Where I'm just trying to keep the peace. Like, I grew up in a volatile household, abusive household. Mm-hmm. I saw my father shoot my brother when I was 4 years old. So if you've never seen violence, I've seen violence, you know what I'm saying? And then just growing up like that made me just want to be the opposite, you know what I'm saying?
That's probably why you are the opposite.
Yeah. When we want to be the opposite. So but I also know I do have triggers too. I can turn into that monster, but I don't want to be that. I really try to avoid that. So because of that, I've had to set boundaries now. It's nah, bro, I'm not going there with you. This is what's happening. This is how I'm choosing to rock moving forward. So I really, key things you said there, boundaries, and being okay with that person, even if they don't change, because that's the true forgiveness
Acceptance. It's just acceptance. Who they are. And I think forgiveness, especially for women, sometimes us women, we got some things to work on. But a lot of women, they move forward and bring everything with them. So they haven't really forgiven you. They're still mad. But they're willing to do with you as long as you act the way that they want you to act, right? That's not forgiveness at all.
Ooh.
And so
it could be toxic.
It's controlling. Then you're it's manipulative.
It's manipulative.
It is.
100%.
So you can't say, I'll still do with you if you do everything the way that I want you to. And then the moment you don't, I'm bringing back up all this stuff.
Of it. Every little thing you did wrong.
Yeah. So when I go through healing processes, I decide I'm not bringing up anything that they did anymore because then I haven't moved past it if I really have. And they know they did this. So beating them up about it doesn't help nurture the relationship.
No.
So I'm not ready to not bring it up anymore, I haven't healed. And I do this with friendships. Once we have a conversation about it, moving forward, I will never bring up that you did this to me. As much as I may be tempted to pull it out of my pocket to prove a point. You know how you used to be, now they're like, she still ain't forgave
still
me,
still
you know, and so you just can't grow. And the grief and the healing is for our growth and development, not theirs.
Not theirs, 100%. Mm.
You know, it's like we want the work that we did to rub off on them. You know, it's our work.
All right. Now, I see that you lately been very passionate about trying to give women the playbook or the keys to success and
the game,
yes. Right? You've been giving them a game. What made you want to do that? Why did you feel the need to do that?
Well, before you answer that,
okay,
this would be a good chance to say Sabrina Parr just released an ebook, right?
I did.
And it's called, and I pulled this up so I didn't mess up the title because I don't want to butcher it. So I don't want you to think I was sorting through Instagram.
Yes. It's an ebook form, but it's a playbook.
Okay. It's called The Playing to Win at Love, a playbook for women to have a winning season in their relationship.
Correct.
So what made you want to do, why did you feel the need to do this?
So, okay.
Because you can keep all the games to yourself and just run and just do your thing. But why did you feel
I'm tired of us as women. I'm frustrated. Even with my friends, why are we having the same conversations?
Mm.
Why is everything their fault? You know, so everything is their fault. You did nothing wrong. And if you did do something wrong, have you fixed it? Have you changed the behavior? Or do you not have to change your behavior because our wrong is not bigger than their wrong?
Right.
You know, so James, you know me for a long time. Yeah. I've always been passionate. I've been aggressive. I've always had masculine vibes, okay? I don't even know if that's a good thing to say, but it's kind of my truth. It's your vibe. You know, so I've always sometimes sided with men because I'm around them. You know, right. I grew up with them. I play sports with them. I understand them more. Mm. So it's like, if you hate the men so bad, why do you keep dealing with them? Mm. So if since you're not going to stop dealing with them, why don't you learn how to deal with them?
Wow.
And so when women say, oh, these men ain't no good, and they all cheating, all this and that. So when are you giving up? Are you done dating them? Because you're still outside dating. You're on the dating apps. You're still answering your DMs. You haven't turned homosexual.
And you're still dating that same dude.
You're still dating the same guy you hate. You're still sleeping with him. So since you're not quitting, why don't you learn how to play this game better?
Yeah,
right. You know, and you have to become a better player if you want to win the game.
Man, something she said, like, I bring this up to my friends all the time. I say, I've never met a woman who's been responsible for a breakup. I've never met a woman that was like, yo,
it's my fault.
It's my fault. I've never heard that. Have you?
I can't say I haven't heard that. What I have come across, though, is in my own, like, healing from past relationships, the thing that helped me start on the path to healing was whatever you did, you weren't the only person to do it. So if you were wrong, like, you weren't the only reason why something failed.
Right.
Every relationship has two parts, two roles. So that was important for me to realize for my own self, because I think I took a lot of blame for past mistakes.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm thankful. I haven't really had that. Actually, I have.
What?
I was with a couple of crazies. Maybe I just try to forget about it.
So you have a short memory.
You try to black it out.
Which isn't
a bad thing. But now, thanks, James, for bringing that one up.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's okay. You should start healing from it. Compressing right. it down. So what made me start being more vocal on social media? So I've already had this conversation with my girlfriends. Any friend, sometimes I'm a hard friend because right. it's like, I'm going to tell you what you don't want to hear. Mm. I'm not going to always be on your side. You call me complaining about this guy, I might ask you, well, why you keep dealing with him? Or did you block him? Block him for what? But what if he, well, then what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
So I've just decided.
Do you even have a lot of female friends? Because I feel like with this type of,
a lot, no. But some of the same ones that I've had since like childhood, yes.
Okay.
Because they really know
that
me.
People won't, but I don't feel like a lot of women would be receptive to that.
No, it's hard for me to meet new friends.
Okay.
It's either they really love me or they absolutely hate me.
Wow, you're polarizing.
But isn't that what you want? Especially at this point in life, I don't need to know where we stand at, what I can and can't share with you.
Yes,
I want to know where we stand.
Yeah, because I'm a lot, and I'm okay with that. But like a lot, and like I'm very challenging. You know, like girls would be like, "Oh my God, I got to lose weight." Okay. So
what we doing?
What are you about to do about that? Oh my God, here you go, Sabrina. Well, then don't bring it up then. Because
I'm
not that friend to say something out loud that you want to do and then we're going to just move past it. I'm also not the friend that's going to say, oh, you look fine.
Oh yeah, no.
No, you don't look fine. And don't tell me that I look fine when I know I don't look fine. So I'm challenging.
But I feel like whatever your challenges are, I will speak for myself. I know if I ever called you, if I ever said something, you would be right there. Like, I feel like that's your vibe, too.
That's
like, and so, like, with the energy, you probably demand the same thing from your friends, too.
Yes. Mm. Like, it makes me upset if I contradicted myself or did something wrong and no one spoke up.
Yeah.
Until later, it's like, why you didn't say nothing?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't even been on it. Like, no, offend me. Like, we're friends. So, like, say what you mean me, what you say.
I'd rather you say that.
I would rather you say it and like, put it on my brain so now I'm held accountable. Mm. But anyway, so instead of just having these conversations with my personal friends or all my homeboys, it was one day in particular. I'm not going to say who she was, but I was on the phone with my friend, and she was just, like, nagging her dude about he's been at the gym too long. And I'm like, girl, don't bother him while he's at the gym. Like, there's no such thing. Let him have his gym time. I'm saying, but it's been like 3 hours and we got stuff to do. And I was like, he can't have nothing else but the gym. Let him have the gym. And I'm like, why don't you know this? Like, just because you're not interested in this doesn't mean he shouldn't be, or right. he should be only limited to an hour. You know, I said he could be using that gym for so many different things. Like, his job is demanding. You're demanding. He's a father. He has bills. He has stress. For sure. Like, let him. I said, because I understand that. And so that caused me to just, like, make a video about, like, stop complaining. Like, let him have the day. Like, let him watch the game. Let him have peace. Like, find something else to do. And
watch
why,
the game. Yes.
Please, like, he needs, like we have our stuff, and they don't talk about it. Y'all need to do the same thing. And the response I got from that was shocking. Like, it was so much going on my phone, I thought, like, I was mentioned somewhere, like, with affiliation with somebody, and I was like, man, they done tagged me or something. So I'm looking like, no, I'm not posted anywhere. And I'm like, this is all from this video? Like, so many men were like, can you send this to my wife?
Thank you.
Thank you so much for saying this. Like, why don't they understand it? I was like, wait, they really don't get this? Like, I'm really giving them game that they didn't know. And then there were the women who were like, you know what? That was a reminder for me. Because we just got into an argument about the game or the whatever, and I understand where you're coming from now. There were a lot of women like, so what? It's too long. He can at least call. Why do we have to call? See, what women don't understand is the more you nag about what he's doing,
the more
he's going to do what you don't want him to do.
And don't you think that it could be also like exposing some insecurities on the person's
100%.
Part? Like, why are they spending that time at the gym? Well, what is it you think he's doing? That's bothering you. What is the real issue?
It could be so many things. It could also be, well, I don't spend that much time at the gym. So does he like somebody at the gym more than me? Is he trying to say that I'm fat? Is he, you know, it's like there's so many different things. Instead of just either asking a question so you can deal with your insecurity, or letting it go because it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's really not a big deal. So this is what made me just start having more of these conversations out loud. I already think this. I already talk like this to my friends. Another example to my friend, she had just recently had a baby. She wasn't really feeling herself. If you have kids, you understand how a woman can feel. I said, but you're letting yourself go. And he was attracted to you, and he wants to remain attracted to you. So put your titties up and show them, you know, like, come on now. Like, when you FaceTime me, you look terrible. I don't want to look at you. Are you answering the phone like this every time he calls?
Oh, walking around the house like that.
Look, yeah, well, I got a brand new baby. I said, so does he. He doesn't care. He still wants to be attracted to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you got to pull it together. I'm doing the best I can. No, you're not doing the best you can.
No.
You want a pity party, and you cannot do that if you're saying you want to be a wife, and you want to be a mother, and you want to be, like, this is what we sign up for. Yeah. And so I don't think we understand what we're signing up for and the roles women have to play, just like there's roles men have to play.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Women only want to focus on the man's role. They feel like they're doing their role perfectly.
Man.
And so I'm trying to show
you okay over there?
In a very different way. I'm just going to say different. That we also need to work on things, just like men need to work on things. But I'm not going to keep saying, and men, and me. I'm not talking to the men, I'm talking to the women. So let somebody else talk to the men. I'm going to talk to the women. Again, I'm not saying men don't need to be talked to. Men do need to work on things. They 100%. Need to continue to heal and grow. That's not my assignment. That's not my responsibility. Even in my relationship, it's not my responsibility to help my partner figure out what he needs to do differently. It's my responsibility to help me figure out what I need to do differently and focus on that. And typically what happens is when I'm focusing on what I need to do differently, he will notice and change, or he will notice and leave. Both work for me.
Now, what if you guys are in a situation where that you're the other person isn't noticing it, and you, like, intentional communication needs to take place?
So whether he's noticing or most times he will notice, he just might not say anything, because maybe then it will require a change of him.
Yeah.
By speaking it out there. I don't notice you're going to the gym, and now I got to go to the, so he may not say anything. It may make him very uncomfortable though. And I'm just saying him because I'm a woman.
Sure.
But you'll be able to notice what's making him uncomfortable. And then you have a choice to make. Babe, you know, I got this goal. Do you want to join me? I don't really trying to do that. So now you can make a cognitive decision. Okay, can I grow with this person, or is this where we stop?
Can I tell you one thing? I'll just interject just a little bit. One of the biggest things I've hated as a trainer is when I get a female client that wants to work out and her dude is like, deterring her or saying negative things. About. That's the most hater, corny thing I've ever seen. Like, first of all, you don't even like this girl. You know, I don't like her. I don't.
You don't like her. I really don't like her.
You know, I don't like her. You don't even like this woman. You so pressed about this girl you barely even like. You don't even, you be cheating on her and everything. Bro, leave me alone. Stop interfering with my business because you insecure, man.
Say
you
know name, Kat.
I ain't gonna say no that. I tell you, it's not gonna be a carry out, but I hate that. I hate it.
I've been in those relationships, though. You know, can you imagine? This is why, like, I have to date a certain type of guy.
You date somebody who tried to tell you not to work out? You?
I've dated someone. He wouldn't say it in those words, but it would be like, you working out again? Like, why are you working out so much? Like, what's at that gym? What's the results gym? The I'm weights? About to get. Like, track. What do you mean? Like, that's all you want to do. And it's like.
Were they physically fitness minded?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. But.
But they don't want their woman.
They've never dealt with a woman who was so passionate about it. And. Who was so attractive that every other guy is going to want to talk to her. That's the other side of it. Like, you have to be very confident to send your girl to the gym without you to get finer, you know, and be around all these men. Same with women. You got to send your man to the gym to get finer and be confident enough that he's just going to come back home to you.
Yeah.
That's why it's great to be fully secure in yourself.
You have to be.
Or if you're not secure, be secure enough to have a conversation. Like, I'm going to tell you a conversation I had with my ex. I don't even think I've ever said this out loud, but besides him. But when I first started dating my ex, rightfully so, I had insecurities because of who he dated before me, right? And I'm not talking about looks or status. I'm talking about just, like, power. Things that she was able to do that I couldn't have, you know, just being honest. So I remember... when we were in L.A., where she lived, like, when we weren't in L.A., I had no questions, thoughts, or whatever. Because it's like, we're not in proximity, it doesn't matter. So once we were in L.A., I started to think that, now I made this up in my head, right? I started to think that maybe he's not going to want to spend as much time with me because maybe I don't appear to be as big as her. And maybe when we go places, I won't be as impactful, right? So, and this is what I'm thinking. So one day I remember I was somewhere and I asked him, I said, do you not want me here in certain places? Like, cause if so, it's okay. I don't have to come. Like, I have other people and friends out here. He was like, what would make you say that? And so one of the reasons why it made me say that was, a paparazzi guy came running up to him and I was with him. Now this is very early on in our relationship, right? Like month three. And he just was talking to the paparazzi guy, never addressed me, never said anything, nothing, right? Which was not really normal behavior for him. So it just had me think like, okay, we're in his territory, we're in her territory, maybe it's just a different vibe out here than it is Atlanta. I'm going to have a conversation with him about it, you know, because I'm going to be honest, there were certain places I could not take him where he would be as impactful on my brand. You know, there were some places where it's like, you got to sit this one out. Like, this one is strictly for me, you know? But so when I had this conversation with him, he was like, honestly, I just even think like, forgot he even that yeah, he even to think do like this. And it never happened again. He also did something. This was the day before he actually posted me on his page and announced we were even together, which I didn't ask for. I wasn't even requiring. But it was his way of saying, you absolutely do not embarrass me. You absolutely are not inadequate. You absolutely add up.
That's hard for me to even hear that, like, as, like, to be like, damn, you feel like that? Like, people probably think you're pretty. You guys are going on.
But
like,
this is, you go to the next level. Yeah. You know how you say, like, don't ever be the smartest in the room? When you're not, when you're in that room, you're like, oh, wow. Yo, like,
this bunch of eggheads.
Okay, how do I work this room? You know, but like, most women wouldn't have spoke up. Yeah. They would have never said nothing. They wouldn't have been able to fight, to push through that. Again, I said I was secure enough to bring it to his attention and let him know, like, I'm vulnerable, I'm feeling a little way. And we never had that issue again.
Wow. I commend you. That's a hard, those can be hard conversations. And then for a guy to hear that, or whoever is the person that would be looked at as the higher esteem, to hear that, to be able to respond in a way that's not damaging, but it's like, okay, well, let's figure out how this works for both of us.
Yeah.
I commend you on
that. But relationships are about having those hard conversations.
Yeah.
The more you avoid it, the bigger the problem becomes. And I knew if I kept this inside, this picture I was painting was going to be so vivid to me. to one day it was just going to be like, oh, this has to be true because this is just how I'm feeling. So talking it through, again, it never happened again. And I never, then I started looking like, Sabrina, you was tripping.
Yeah.
Like, there is no way you can't be in these rooms. There is no way that you're inadequate. Like, but I'm human. I'm a woman. Yeah. I have hormones, you know.
Do you think, like, so I know for me, sometimes my inadequacies or my thoughts about stuff comes from my childhood. Like, it comes from, like, me being an overweight kid that was considered weird or not popular. You know what I'm saying? That was, like, different to the point, like, I got jumped in a gang when I was 10 years old just so I could fit in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I just always had, like, issues with fitting in. And then I realized, like, I was never meant to fit in. Like, I was always supposed to be, like, a different person. So, like, I know that whenever I had that insecurity, I feel that way. It comes from, like, some childhood deep root. Is that where it come from with you, or is that something that you
So that, you gotta understand, I was the total opposite of you growing up.
Okay.
Like, I was always, like, the it girl.
Okay.
Being a super athlete. I always was talented. You know, to fit in with the guys and the girls was, like, a plus.
Right.
You know, so getting on that playing field with him was, like, this is a new arena for me. You know, so it was more so from social media, if I'm being quite honest.
Mm.
Reading comments, who is she? She's nobody, you know, she's a downgrade. Wow. And
social media,
like,
is such a crazy place. It's such a crazy place because the person that's saying that is probably
literally an ant on the ground.
Probably busted, disgusted, and can't be
trusted.
They're
really somebody that you know personally that is behind a fake page.
They're probably playing Fortnite in a gamer chair in the basement.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so once I... But you got to understand, like, that space... Now, I was not new to being around celebrities. You know, I worked for ESPN. You know this.
Yeah.
It was in that light, it was different.
Mm.
You know, it was like... It wasn't just... My light, it was his. Yeah. Most of the time it was like, okay, this is my thing and they're just here. This was all his stuff. You know, like, I'm in his space now. I'm around his people. Like, I'm in Hollywood with him. So that was very different. I've been in Hollywood by myself before and I was very confident. But I'm going to be honest, like, I had to learn how to stop reading stuff. And then I had to just learn, like, wait, the people who are saying it don't know nothing about you.
Man, one thing that gave me freedom, I read this book called Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. And one thing he said was, like, everybody got some shit. They just got it covered up.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just hide it better. And that just freed me so much. Like, when I was going through, like, my divorce and having this kid and all this stuff, everybody's like, oh, you this, you that. I'm like, man, yo, daddy got a couple baby mamas too. Now, why you talking?
I'm on my second one.
You know what I'm saying? Why you talking? Your daddy. Right. Why you talking about me? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And you got a couple babies in the cemetery too that you didn't have them sucked out you. So don't be talking about me. All
right.
Listen, I just felt like everybody got some stuff, and I feel like we ain't nobody perfect. We all do our thing, and we just trying to strive to become the best version of ourselves. But I think knowing that, and then especially social media, I feel you, because I've been around, you know, certain people, and then I'm on their page, and then the comments about me are negative. I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah.
This is weird. Wait, how? I've never got negative comments. Why am I getting hated on just because who I'm with?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, man, and I will go look at the person. I'll be like, this little fairy, this little fairy dude here talking trash.
You don't even have a profile picture.
One profile picture, weak as hell, talking smack. I'm like, bro, get out of here. Because game recognize game. When I'm around real ones, they be like, oh, what's up? You a real? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, like, I don't even, man, that's social media. That's crazy, because that social media place is a weird place, man. Mm. And people will talk to you crazy.
It's a dangerous spot, man.
But they talk to you crazy from behind the keyboard. They will never say, they will never say that stuff to your face.
No.
Never. Like, never, ever, ever, ever.
And these are people who, like, would see us in person, be, like, ready to sign autographs and take pictures. And they'll be the same ones, like, yeah, I met her. She's not all that. Like, what? You literally begged us for a photo.
She's not all that.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like... I also, being in media for so long, I understand that if they're not talking and you ain't making no noise and you ain't doing nothing right, you know, so everything now is just kind of like not much can bother me now, you know, because I've been through so many different things, but I can still be vulnerable at times.
Okay, now I've personally seen you bounce back body work out hard for a minute there, people was talking about, oh, she had surgery. Does that bother
you? Which was so strange. It didn't bother me. It just made me, like, it made me understand how much they don't understand what fitness does for you. Like, literally, you can go to the gym 30 days straight. Like, if you just tell yourself, no matter what, even if I'm in there for 5 minutes, if you go for 30 days, you will look like a totally new person.
Man, I've seen you work out on a bad leg.
I'm literally working on a bad leg right now.
I've seen you work out.
This leg of mine.
So much stuff.
This little leg of mine.
Through so much stuff and bounce back in so many ways. Like, for people to say that, I'd just be like, are y'all stupid? Like,
no, literally someone who, I'm not going to say her name. She's probably watches this show and is going to say something, but she's going to know I'm talking about her and that's fine. But like someone who we used to train with DM'd me assuming I got surgery. So was asking me about the surgery to help with her recovery process and her decision making. And I was so lost. I was like,
without even asking, just assuming.
No, she was like, yeah, so when you got the lipo, I said, wait, what surgery are we talking about? I said, oh, you thought I had lipo surgery? No, I had a knee surgery. I said, I didn't get lipo. I said, I wouldn't
baby,
get
I
that.
Baby, I sell teas, baby.
I said, you want
some of this tea?
I can tell you what I did for this. I said, but it had nothing to do with surgery. Like, I think they assumed when I had surgery.
You was talking about.
I was talking about something else. And I was like.
Crazy.
That's people. Such a compliment because, you know, I'm still a woman and I have insecurities. Yeah. I have things. I have stretch marks, you know. Like, yeah. I have loose skin from having 2 natural births. You know, like, I have scars all over my knees from 6 knee surgeries, you know, like, I have insecurities, you know, so hearing stuff like that is like, oh, I must look good, you know, I'm doing
that's
something
a good way
right.
To spin that. I didn't even think of it that way until you just
that's
said
that's a
it.
Great positive way, because I mean, I've been like, I like when I get accused, like, somebody seen you look like, oh, you're on steroids. I'm like, thank you, man. I appreciate you, bro, because I'm not.
Yes.
I appreciate you.
I don't know who thought that.
People have said it to me, man.
Same person in the basement.
People have literally decided that I've gotten something done, like the pressure has gotten into me.
Yeah.
Gotten to me, and it's like, no, I pressure myself to go be better. Like, I like, people be like, what motivates you? Like, James, the bottom line is nothing else in this world motivates me more than thinking I'm going to look ugly. Like, I do not ever want to be the girl that they're like, oh, Sabrina didn't fell off.
Fell off.
Oh, yeah, the age has caught
up. That gives them so much
satisfaction. Oh, my God. Even when I go through seasons where I gain 20 and I'm just, you know, most of it is when I have surgeries where my health is not good. And it's easy to just be kind of relaxed and just complacent, especially in Ohio.
Do you know, I think people want to see you fall off, though. They like to see
they
you
do.
Fall off.
So you can relate to them.
Yeah. So they can feel better
about
themselves.
Now we have something in common.
So they can feel better about themselves. It's not
oh,
even
yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah, that happened to me, too. I gained a couple of weight. You're fine, though. You still look good. We still bad bitches. No, I'm not.
No,
and I'm
going to
lose this weight. So I'm not going to stay down here with you. But, like, really, that's what motivates me. Once a dress doesn't fit the way I want it to, I'm not buying another one.
Mm-mm.
I am, like, my friends will tell you, I will kill myself in the kitchen, in the gym, until I'm like, no, I'm losing weight. And they're like, well, you're getting older. It happens. No, that happens to you.
Mm.
That's not happening to me.
I hate hearing that.
I am not going to be that girl. If Jada Pinkett, Nia Long, Angela Bassett, I can name so many actresses that have to look good for a living that are in their 50s can look good. I am no different. Now, they have more resources, but it's the same mindset.
So, Chad, you got to stop eating that damn Taco Bell today.
Bro, I haven't had Taco Bell in a long time.
Fast food. You be eating that fast food. I'm sick of it. All right?
What do you do?
It's hard to stop fast food.
What do you? I have considerably cut back.
Okay. Good for you.
I get no respect. What's your preference of fitness? How do you go about, like, work? Like, what's your preferred way to work out? I know, like,
as much as I can.
But, like, what are you doing? Because I know, like, this man right here is transitioning
to a
marathon in May.
Yeah, I like to look. So, since my last surgery, it has changed the dynamic of how I work out. I used to be a runner. Like, I would just go outside and run as long as I could. Like, I enjoyed it. It was euphoric. I can't do that anymore. So, which was a lot to even accept. So now, work weights, Stairmaster, which whoops me. You know, the Stairmaster is like the hardest thing. incline walks on a treadmill, interval runs on a treadmill, like something that's like so hard for me to do, it makes me want to quit. That's when I know, like, okay, I'm really working hard. So those things I name really do make me want to quit. Weights, I know, is helping build the look that I want. You know, cardio helps me lose the weight that I want, if that makes sense. Burn the calories that I want. But, like, weights, you may not burn as many calories, but you're going to get better results by lifting weights. And I just know, like, I don't want to look flabby. I don't want to look weak. You know, like, I want to always look toned, so I have to use weights. Some people who just run, they're in great cardio health shape, but they have no muscle. No muscles, though. You know, yeah, I don't want to look like, I don't want anybody to think I can try me. You know, I want them to say, like, if you see some real bicep, like, you might want to show up on it,
yeah.
You know, so that is what I like to do, just get in the weight room. I'm transitioning now to the pool. Like, just forcing myself to, they have, like, pool ankle weights and wrist weights. So, like, every movement is resisted. So the hard thing with that for me is I'm black and my hair is not really, like, made for chlorine.
Do you know how to swim? Do you know how to swim?
I used to be on the swim team. Like, I'm like a fish.
What?
Yes.
Hey, man, she out here spelling.
Yeah, I was on Shaker Sharks. Yes. And in Collinwood, they used to make me compete at the indoor swim meets.
Okay. Collinwood had a swim team?
Yeah, a really good one, actually. Yeah, we had the Olympic pool.
Yeah, Collinwood has like a...
They hosted the meets at our school.
I've been in Collinwood maybe two or three times, and that was maybe one or twice more than I wanted to be. We have an Olympic-sized pool.
No, Collinwood is known for their swimming, bro. Like, it's like back in the day, though. Like, back in, like, the 70s,
That's 80s, probably why we had that pool.
I had no idea.
But, yeah, so I'm definitely a swimmer, but, like, I know that's going to be good on my body. Yeah. And swimming is hard. You're in there five minutes about to die.
I would imagine for your knee, too.
Right. So I'm even incorporating now with my track kids. Like, we're going to get in the pool. Everything we would do on concrete, we're going to do it in the pool. And it'll save your legs. It'll save your feet. It'll save everything. And that's how Olympic runners train. Yeah. They're in the pool. Yeah. Like, running in the water. So now I'm like obsessed with like ordering all of the pool equipment to just like make it fun for me. But that's a transition because I'm a runner, I'm a jump roper. I like to just sprint and I can't do it as effectively. So instead of quitting, I'm just making a transition.
I think that's why I've gotten into cycling because it's been easier on my feet and my knees.
Yes. So
that hurts my butt.
That's one thing I noticed though, running. I do feel a little bit of knees, ankles, stuff
it's
like that.
Hard.
Your hips yet?
No, I'm cool. So something that's very I wanted to ask you about, especially when people are accusing you of surgery, topic that's going on now. People are getting these basically taking diabetic medicine to lose weight, insulin stuff like that. What's your take on that? I think it's dangerous.
I absolutely hate it.
I think
Enstempic and Zempic.
Yeah, everybody's doing this, and I feel like why don't you just? I think like if you want to play with your insulin, just fast like. Just fast. Just don't eat for a couple hours.
They're not getting the knowledge behind it.
Yeah.
They're selling the drug as this will help you lose weight fast. Most people don't even know it's diabetic medicine. They don't know this. They just know take this and lose weight quickly. And apps. So I hate all that stuff. Not because I'm just a hater and I want everybody to work out. It's because like you don't understand
what it's doing to your body.
What it's doing to your body. And there is an effect. There is an effect of everything. There's an effect of working out.
Yeah.
You know, everything has an effect. You got to weigh out what you want to be affected with the most. But stuff going into your body, you don't know what it is. You know how your body is responding to it. Do you want all the other problems? And it's just laziness.
It's so lazy. It's so lazy.
I have a hard time with lazy people. I don't knock anybody that's trying to do something to look better. Now, I am not saying stay fat and unhealthy.
No.
Please, if you got to cut, nip, tuck, transfer.
Like, I'm not anti-plastic surgery. Like, I'm against using plastic surgery as a form of weight loss. I'm against that.
Yes.
I'm against that.
Yes. Now, I like the thing where you can, like, shrink your stomach.
Yeah.
Because I don't really think that's cheating.
Gastro? Is that gastro?
Yeah, like people, because you still look like yourself.
Yeah. Sometimes, and, man, sometimes they be having them arms.
It literally just suppresses your appetite. Yeah. Like you have a stomach of a baby now. Like you can't really overeat anymore.
Yeah.
So it forces you to change your ways. But like people who are really serious about changing, who get that, I applaud them.
Yeah, but I don't mind. Just say you have a baby, you gain some weight, and you got to get some skin tightened up, get the whatever. I ain't against that. Or you got some trouble spots. Say you lost weight, and you got some areas that just won't go, won't burn. I can see you getting, like, you know what I'm saying, Sonobello.
While you're in the process of working.
Actually doing something. So the problem is with these people that go and get these quick fixes, they don't do anything to really change their lifestyle. And that's the worst part
of
it.
To be honest, most people's lifestyle get worse because they feel so good and they're so confident. Yeah, they're drinking every day.
I went back a few steps, so now I can keep doing my thing and catch up to where I was.
I'm good now. I can eat a little bit more, and it's not. Disgusting society. It makes it worse, and it's just, to each his own. I hate knocking anybody for whatever they do, but like, don't knock me for the way I do it. I'm also the girl that learned how to become very accepting to my flaws. You know, like, what I can't change, I can't change. You know, like, if I can't change it in the gym, I can't change it. And I need to find a way to love it. And I realize the more I love, now I'm not going to say I love my stretch marks because I'd be lying. I don't love them. They no longer bother me. You know, there's a difference. Yeah. I don't love that I have loose skin. I'm not the girl that's like, I just love my post-baby body. No, it's horrible. It ruined what I looked like. But it doesn't bother me to where I feel like I'm ugly or I'm insecure. I just know it's a part of the journey that I had. Could I fix it? The only way to get rid of stretch marks is a tummy tuck. That is an extreme surgery that has a lot of side effects. And every woman I know that has a tummy tuck is fat.
Yeah.
Overweight, bloated, and
I've seen women who get them BBLs, booty gone. The booty be gone.
Drops?
Two years later, booty gone.
They didn't get a good one then.
That's what I'm saying. Is it worth it? Sometimes the fat, the body don't take the fat. It'd be resistant.
Have you seen good ones?
I've seen a couple good ones.
I've seen some good ones. But they gotta really spend a lot of money.
It's the knees. If y'all gonna get these booties, why y'all don't feel like working out your quads and your hamstrings? All this booty and these little bitty knees. No quads. I just hate that.
I hate when the hips
all wide.
There's somebody for everybody. I'll say this. There are men that are enjoying it, and that's why they're still doing it. Because men are not saying to them, that's too much. You need to get rid of that. I think if more men said that, women will start taking it out.
But even with the men that do say it, though, I feel like women just be like, uh-uh.
No, it needs to be a man that she's interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you're just saying, if you're not with the person and you're saying it, then it's like, they're being a hater,
But if you're with someone who's going to get it, you would hope they're going to consult with them.
The reason why I'm not dating you, because you have this on your body. I would love for a man to say, babe, I would love, you're so beautiful, but come get that out and then come call me.
Get that out of here.
Is that a chapter?
See how you respond to that.
Get that out of here.
Okay, see how bad I want him.
Get that out of here.
I don't know. I will be able to receive that. But I'm also the girl that, I pursue to date guys out of my league. And no one really wants to hear me when I say that, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, and I think you date to the level of your self-esteem.
Yeah, that could be true. Yeah, but
so your self-esteem is here then. So, you know what I'm saying?
I want to date a man that I'm not qualified for yet. Somebody that's
Because you believe that, because you believe in yourself enough.
I believe I can get there.
And you believe that you're an asset to that person.
Yeah, I believe that not right now, but I could be if I keep working.
But even you as you are an asset to that person right now. So if you got a person
that's an asset to someone.
You're an asset to them, period.
For sure.
Period. That's how I feel. I'm an asset, bro.
But I'm not an asset to everyone in a way that they may desire.
Because they might have a different goal or might require certain things.
And I'm the girl that's ooh, I want to know what that goal is. I want to see what that takes to become that. And not even for you. I'm competitive. Yeah. But, I really, because I don't want to always play on my level.
Yeah.
You know, I like to play. You know, in sports, you can play up.
Yeah.
I like to play up.
Yeah.
I may not be qualified yet, but playing up is going to help me be more developed.
Right.
To play.
Right. Oh, for sure.
On a higher level. I want to get on a higher level.
You can always come down.
Exactly. Once I'm up there, I don't want to come down.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah.
There's something I want to ask you. I don't think we've asked anyone on this show before, but we haven't had a guest like you. I know you are very competitive.
Oh. Yes.
We know, and I think it's going to get even more and more of a become more and more of a thing where guys are identifying as women and then they're competing in women's sports. Do you have any thoughts or feelings on that?
Yeah, I, like he said, I hate it. I wish, because you're still, you still are what you are.
Yeah.
Like, you feel different. You're not different. You know, like, if you were born with a penis, let me be very careful how I say this, because God forbid I get sued for something. But if you were born with a penis, you are a man by definition. Now, however you feel, I don't know what that feels like.
You got more testosterone than these women. You got more muscle. You
chemically,
got more bone density.
Physically, you
know,
are just different.
Just different, man.
You know, so with that being said, you are always going to be different than your counterpart.
You have an advantage.
Yeah.
You just
yeah.
always have an advantage. So if you wanted to, I feel like if you're a man that wants to transition to a woman, you should just not be allowed to
compete
with other women.
I think it should be a trans woman category.
I think there should be a separate category.
Or I think you should still compete with men and see where you stack up.
Yeah, but they're not going to want to. They're going to keep saying, I'm not a man anymore.
You're right. But I think, okay. So I know, I don't know if it's an NCAA guideline or what it is, where you have to have like a certain amount of time taking hormone suppressants.
Mm-hmm. There has to be a way to prove that, like, you don't have.
So my homegirl that was in the Olympics said that if all you had to do was identify as a woman.
Olympics is different than NCAA.
I'm just saying.
Or OSHA.
Yeah, she said all you had to do was identify.
Yeah, so Olympics.
Yeah, I think you have to have a certain amount of, I think, either it is a requirement or they're working. Yeah.
They have to test you for, like, hormone or testosterone levels. So, like, they have to prove that you're transitioning. You can't show up a man, put on a wig, and say, I'm a woman and I'm running with the girls today.
You're still going to have way more testosterone than any woman.
That's what I'm saying. It's not.
It just wants to say that you're suppressing it.
But there's our
that you're going through the transition of it to prove, like, they are now eligible.
If my daughter loses to Juwanna Man, I'm going to be very upset.
Yeah.
I'm going to be very upset.
I think it's
I don't even think Juwanna Man should celebrate that.
No.
You raised a girl.
You raised a girl, bro. But
you raised a woman. Like, you're not a woman.
Okay. We about to get... All right. This has been a good show. Hey, tune out. Next up. See y'all next. Because I'm about to go somewhere.
Okay.
I got to go somewhere. So my issue is it's this UFC fighter, right?
Mm-hmm.
UFC fighter. No, she's not in UFC. She's not in UFC. Her name is Fallon Fox. He identifies as a woman.
He was born a man?
Born a man.
Okay.
But he identifies as a woman and was fighting female fighters, right?
Beating the shit out of them?
Beating the shit out of them. Okay. Mm. You identify as a woman and you fighting women and you're dating a woman. Now, that's some shit I just can't.
That was Bruce Jenner. Bruce Jenner
I can't get
became
with that shit.
A woman and still dated women.
No, I can't.
So
I
you're
can't
still
get
not even gay.
You're not.
So
who's the women he's
some
dating?
Other women that are chemically
so to
imbalanced.
Me, I feel like you're like a psychopath. Like
confused.
You're
totally
beyond confused because you're actually going out there competing against women, beating them up. Like something's wrong with you.
This is my stance on it. I don't think I don't ever want to be in a spot or feel like I'm in a place where I can say, why are you living like that? Like what? Like that's look, we all have to answer for our actions. Right. And because I'm still trying to figure out how to answer for myself.
Right.
And figure things out in my life. But when it comes to when your actions affect other people and we know how much we value sports here in our country and just period. But when it comes to sports, that's where I have an issue.
Or the bathroom.
Oh, that's, there's elementary schools now where you can just go wherever you want based on how you feel that day.
Man, I'm not having it, man.
I'm not having it either as a parent.
You're not going in no bathroom with my child.
If you have a penis, you're not allowed in the bathroom with the girls that have vaginas.
Period.
We need to have a binary bathroom now. Like
or unisex.
Either or.
The door,
So if you're not binary, you just go to that.
Yes, this is
bathroom.
True, guys. This bathroom and y'all vaginas and penises can come in here, but there should still be a girls and a boys because there are still girls and there are still boys.
Yes.
And with the sports thing, just three different bathrooms.
No, I'm saying, how do you regulate?
Same way you regulate the other ones.
I hear what you're saying, but
I'm just telling
how do you determine?
If I go,
saying people with their word.
You can look and see if an elementary school kid is a boy or a girl. It's very clear what they look like.
And man, like, I, and then too,
most cases.
And this,
I work in, I'm dealing with something like that right now. Currently, I won't speak on it, but okay.
But this, and this is my thing too. If you are making the transition, if you want to be, if you're making a transition to an athlete, you want to be an athlete, you have to take care of yourself. I think like the opposite sex. I don't want to see you being hairy as a man. I don't want to see you as that.
But this is my thing.
Get your hair done. Get your nails done. Take care of yourself.
But that laser, and they're not going to do it.
Do all that stuff. Because if you want to be a woman, you got to go through the pain of a woman. You better be wearing heels. You better be doing your thing. Just like the girls who want to be guys, if you can't bench 225, I'm sorry. I'm not accepting you in as a male species.
Well, there's a lot of men. That can't do that in our real men. But listen, think about the girls that are becoming men. They're identifying as men.
Right.
They're not able to compete with the men.
Man, Brittany Griner is masculine, whatever she want to be. She would be on the bench of any NBA team.
She would get blocked every trip. Like, she still has to play with the girls.
Yes.
Because you're still a girl.
So I heard a former NBA player on a podcast, and he got asked this question, right? Like, if you took the top 10, if you took the top 5 players in the WNBA and put them on an NBA roster, could they do anything? And he was like, absolutely not. But what he did say was,
they could do something.
Well, this is what he said, and I obviously this hasn't happened before, but I'd be curious to see how this played out. He said, if you take them at the earliest of ages when kids start playing AAU, mm-hmm. and let them start playing with the boys, and then in high school, and you the same way that
that was me. That's why I still play with boys.
Then you really get a chance to filter out and see, okay, because you've been accustomed to playing with guys, with boys and guys. Okay, now you can see who can really hang, and not just hang, but excel.
Right.
But it's to take them out, and then it's like you're strong, right? You're a trainer. Yeah. You you have a resume of athletics. You started. Are you officially training for a marathon?
I'm training for a marathon. Okay, I ain't running 7.5 miles.
How did your 7.5 miles go today? How did it feel?
It was brutal.
Your knees, bro. You have to start doing stuff for your knees.
It's brutal.
I'm telling you.
It was brutal.
You have to take care of your knees in a different way now that you're running all these miles. Take it from me.
Yeah. So I don't know what I got to do, but whatever it is.
What are you doing now? Let me
see. I'm not doing anything besides warming up and stretching, which is, I think, very important because most people don't.
Did you get shoes yet?
I have running shoes, yes.
What do you have?
Some Nike running shoes.
No. Don't run 7 miles in Nikes. Get something else.
I need some Brooks. I need some Asics.
You need to go to Fleet Feet.
We had this discussion already, Sabrina.
Come on. You cannot.
I don't know.
But you got to ask. Get the information.
Okay.
Ask AI. Hey, I'm training for a marathon. My knees are hurting. What are the top 10 things you suggest I do differently?
Usually, but last time I was wearing some Hokas, so we'll see.
Go get a foot analysis. They're free.
That's what I'm going to do.
Fleet Feet, Second Sole has them. They will give you the top shoes for you. They will let you know how you're landing. You may need insoles. And then now that you're running so many miles, you got to change your shoes out like every other month.
I'm down.
Also, ice your knees after every run, James. You're talking to someone who's had 6 knee surgeries. Even if that just means wrapping them up and going where you need to go with the ice wrapped. Because I know sitting there icing may not be... You know,
how long am I icing for?
20 minutes minimum.
Okay.
Glucosamine conjoint with MSM. You need to put that in your diet. You should be taking 2 capsules of those a day. They're lifesavers.
Glucosamine and MSM.
Those glucosamine conjoint. Yes, it's a game changer for your joints.
Okay.
These are just basic things.
I write that down myself.
Constantly rolling out your IT bands.
Yep.
Stretching like. I would start rolling your IT band with a tennis ball.
Okay.
Like, really get in there. Because it's going to, all that inflammation and stuff, it's going to start affecting you. Because I'm sure you're running on concrete.
No, actually, I was on the treadmill today.
Okay. Which may be worse.
Yeah.
It's
only because of the weather. Only because if it was a little bit warmer, it was 10 degrees. I was like, nah, I'm black.
Can you run, in the water?
I don't know.
Can you, you can, like, will you?
Yeah, I'll do anything. I just don't know. This is my first time doing marathon. I'm just following the marathon program I downloaded.
I'm going to get you connected with a buddy of mine who's a running coach. But everything she's saying is gold.
Yeah, okay. I was, well, I mean, yeah. I ran cross country. I ran for so long. I'm telling you, like, these are things that are going to be game changers for you.
For sure.
Eliminating certain foods.
Listen, which, I'm down. I'm not hard. I'm not hard-headed, bro. Like, you tell me to
pause.
But, like, the best way to do the ice thing is, like, every time you go get gas.
Yeah.
Get as many bags of ice that your house will hold.
Okay.
Saran wrap. And then every run, just Saran wrap the ice to your knees. Just like in college football or high school football or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm
this
down.
Needs to be also roll out your feet with the tennis
the ball. Yes.
Yes.
That's one thing I have not been
you
doing.
You have
yes.
to. There's, everything is working. Do you get pedicures?
I haven't got one in a while.
Start back every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Get the works. I'm telling you, like, these are things you got to do.
Why you make that face? You got a problem with me getting a pedicure?
You got to work those small muscles in your feet now. We're going to
do it together. We'll get a pedicure together.
And mm-hmm. it'll be like some good self-care time.
Yeah, I'm down. Know? I'm definitely down with that.
But if you're really serious about that, because you're not a small guy.
I'm not.
And so, like, I'm carrying a lot of weight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being a big guy running these miles, like, because it's a 42 some kilometers. I'm like, yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah, so
I'm so scared of it that it's making me want to go hard to do it. Like, I'm like, let's do it.
Yeah, so I would, as soon as you can, go to Fleet Feet
and get the assessment.
Yeah, and tell them what you're doing. Tell them you need as much knowledge. Tell them to give you all the resources and tools that they have. Join the running groups in our community on social media.
Yeah.
So just so you can kind of see like what they have going on. I would go to all the YouTube channels of the real Olympian marathon runners that kind of look like you as far as, like, maybe they're a little heavier.
Okay.
They got some muscle on them that just turn into marathon runners. And just kind of see, like, what they do for active recovery.
Okay.
Because if they're doing it and they're pros, you know you got to do that plus more. Like, just to be honest. Because you're not a pro.
Because definitely not. We ain't had to say it like that.
I'm just saying. You're not a pro yet. I don't know what it takes to be a pro. No,
I was kidding. But look, where can people find you at? Where can we go?
Hold on, bro.
You want to do rapid quick? Okay, yeah. So we got to do this thing before you get out of here.
Well, we can be here as long as we want, even though we don't want to be here as long as we want.
Exactly, because we're already an hour into the show.
But we do want to, we haven't done this in a while, and we wanted to do it with you.
Okay, great.
It's a random rapid fire question game.
All right.
That's not the name of the game, but it's just what I got right now.
Okay.
So I'm going to cue up a 30-second clock, and I want you to keep track of how many responses she gives, okay?
Okay, keep track of how many responses she
gives. You understand what I'm saying?
No, but I got you.
Yeah, how many responses I can give in 30 seconds.
All right.
How are you going to keep track? You have no phone, you have no nothing in your hand.
I know, but I'm keeping track of my mind.
We already understood. Well, you know what? I don't feel confident with the dots with you.
Maybe you can just, like, tally.
Listen.
Okay.
I got it.
Are you going to do dots?
Then we got you.
All right.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, hold on. Let me, I'm not ready.
Why aren't you ready? And you need
put
to.
Because
I need to put seconds on, man. Relax. I'm excited for this.
Oh, weirdo.
Well, turn it around so you don't have to get a new. Okay, all right. Never mind.
You guys ready? All right. I will start after I ask the first question. What is your favorite month?
May. It's my birthday.
Mine too. What is your favorite season?
Summer.
What is your favorite animal?
Dog.
What is your favorite color?
Orange.
What is your favorite food?
Pizza.
Text or phone call?
Phone.
Who do you text the most?
My friend, Tanisha.
Who is your hero?
Mr. Hutch.
Where did you go on your last vacation?
Boston.
What is your go-to pastime?
Playing basketball.
What is your favorite subject in school?
English.
Where did you grow up?
Cleveland.
Count that last one. What do you got?
I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
I think I could have got more if you would have asked the questions faster.
Yeah, so. I feel like you're kind of slow with the questions.
Yo, my bad.
I feel like that's not really a good.
You're kind of slow with the questions. And you're kind of trying to talk in there, too.
Yeah, like you were curious about me
really,
elaborating.
I was like, oh, my brother's a man. Boston. I got a dog. I had to call that shit out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, shut up.
Wow, that was funny. Okay, you got to work on your delivery.
Thanks.
Just practice. I know you said you haven't done it in a while.
I can admit I need to work on that.
Yeah. Right.
But that's a fun game.
James has to work on his counting, and I need to work.
Right, his tallying.
Because I don't read Braille. Yeah, y'all are judging me because I don't read
Braille.
How many did I get?
12.
Okay, is there like a record?
No, that is the record.
Right? Oh, it's the first time? I don't like being first.
Right.
I want to go last. Well, see what I'm up against.
Oh, because you're so competitive. That's
right,
so crazy.
Like, who I got to beat?
She could come back. Hey, guys, I'm coming back on the
all
show.
All right, call me when someone beats 12.
I just want to rapid fire. I'm only here for the rapid fire.
I'm here for the rapid fire.
We gotta make sure we get to keep that record or that one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's so funny.
12 record fire.
May what?
First.
May 1st, your birthday?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what's up. What's your sign? Taurus?
Taurus.
Yeah, that's what's up. I get along with Tauruses.
Oh, that's good.
Julia?
No, I would say
we I'm a Leo.
You know I am.
You're a Taurus also?
May 3rd.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
What are you?
A Leo?
A Leo.
When's your birthday? July
24th.
July.
My son's a Leo too, which is crazy.
Do you, you just had a son or a daughter?
I had a son.
Oh, okay. Yeah. First son.
My first son, yep.
That's great. How's that going so far?
I love it. I hate the fact that his mom is in Florida, but
it's like a one night stand thing.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about it? Why?
This has been a great episode.
No, I'm curious.
It was
more than one night?
It was more than one night, but it wasn't that. You know what I'm saying?
It was just like you guys enjoyed having sex with each other.
Yeah, we enjoyed it. And then we had it and was too
so
good.
You met her in Florida?
No, I met her here, but she lived down there.
Oh, okay. She was just visiting.
She was visiting, yeah.
Okay. Then she came back. She continued to visit?
Yeah.
Oh. The visiting kept happening.
And then we popped up. Hey, I'm pregnant. I'm like, this ain't
that's
that.
That's the problem when it popped up.
Man, I was like, oh, yeah. God,
that's all that happens.
But you know
what? Did it pop up when you were still married?
Yep, I wasn't technically divorced yet. No.
Okay, but were you still working?
Hell no.
Okay, I knew you had got to a point where it was like, there's no way.
We had been separated.
So did that make it worse?
Oh, it definitely made it worse. It definitely added some fuel to the fire when we got to the divorce negotiation.
Oh, man. I feel like whatever happens after we decided to file, like, I should be clear.
But it don't. But to a person that's hurt by you or scorned by you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it don't matter. Like, it left an impression. And as a man, like, I was moving too fast. Like, I didn't, like, and I would tell, like, any man, like, this is something we talked about before off air, but men don't heal, we hoe, versus taking the necessary steps to heal and learn from stuff. So I'm chasing a feeling to make me feel better about myself versus learning how to address whatever issues I have for my marriage, to how I felt unloved, unappreciated, neglected, and as a man, and you be like, well, this woman I'm cheating with or messing with makes me feel so special, I'm cheating with her. I think most people assume that men cheat just for the physical thing of it, but that's not always the case. Sometimes it's just somebody that's willing to talk to you and pour into you, say something nice to you. Like, man, I'll never forget some of the times, like, the things I would ask of my wife and she wouldn't deliver, I'd be like, man, what the hell am I married for?
Yeah. Yeah, I talk about that a lot in my book.
Somebody's just here, like, doing whatever. You know what I'm saying? Even if it's only for a temporary thing, and it's because her job is easier. So a side chick's job is always easier because she doesn't have to deal with you 24/7.
It's like the uncle-auntie relationship. I can deal with you as a kid, but I could
I don't got to
deal with your shit if I don't want to.
Yeah.
I got to change a diaper. I don't got to punish you if I don't want to. I don't got to have those awkward conversations.
Yeah. So a side person can only just use straight benefits. So it can really mess with you. But, like, again, that's why as a man, one, you need to heal and realize that you can't be out here just sleeping, man, sleeping around with people, bro. You
so
gotta
how
to
are you
yourself.
Doing? How are you healing at this
so
point?
So now I was going to therapy. My therapy got canceled because I reduce my hours or whatever, something like that. So now I'm back on getting to therapy. I'm also talking
to people. Do you have a mentor?
I don't have a mentor.
Mentor would be so helpful.
A mentor would be helpful. But most men that I talk to, they be on a different wave than I'm on.
What kind of wave?
How do you know?
Like, what wave are you looking for?
I'm a wave of a man. So, like, I want that Pastor Vernon stuff. You feel me?
Christian man.
Yeah. I want to pass.
Well, have you been to church?
Yeah, I go to church all the time.
To find a mentor?
No, but not to look for a mentor. But I'm telling you, like, so like right now, me and my friends are on a wave of we're talking about, you know, as we're older, you know what I'm saying? It's all about being with one person. It's all about, like, the goal is to be able to do this with your phone and not have an issue. So with
you
that
being... You're not there yet.
I'm there. I'm there. Mentally, I'm there. I'm in that space.
I'm saying, is your phone there?
Yeah, my phone, Jake.
Okay.
My phone, Jake.
Not Jake. I haven't heard Jake's name in a while.
My phone, Jake, man. My phone, Jake. He had his little Jake phone.
That is a clear indication, though, because, and not to cut you off, but I remember when I first started dating my ex, we didn't have any issues with that, but He left. We were at my brother's house. He left and just said, I'm going to the store. I'll be back. He left his phone open and up. My brother noticed it. And he was like, did he just leave his phone like this? I said, he probably didn't even do it on purpose. But, yes, he doesn't lock his phone. My brother was like, oh, he really ain't doing nothing.
He ain't doing nothing. He ain't doing nothing.
He said he can trust you and you trust him.
Yeah.
I said, we ain't got nothing to hide. We've been through all of that.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm not even doing nothing, but I just think the day I leave my phone is the day a girl going to text me and say, like, what's up, babe? And I can't take that chance, so I'm taking my phone.
I'm still handsome shit. Women still try me, but it's like as a man, you got to just be like, nah. I'm good. Move on.
Yeah, and it's thing of being able to go through and know you're not going to find anything. You're going to feel stupid. So you can only leave your phone if you know I'm literally not doing anything.
Nothing.
If someone hits me up, it's because my number is the same. And
same.
It just so randomly happens. But
years.
You're not going to find anything in here. And I think that is hard for men who are in relationships and they're not happy in the relationship.
And not happy.
When they're happy in a relationship, they have no desire to do nothing else. I don't think women understand that.
Nah.
Like something about him is unhappy. It may not be your fault that he's unhappy.
Yeah, it could be some stuff within himself.
But he's not happy. Either you have to identify what the unhappiness is and where it's coming from and deal with it, or you have to remove yourself but not try to force him to be something that he can't be to you.
So one thing I would always tell somebody, you cannot date potential.
No.
So if you like a dude and you like, I'm going to try to make him be his girlfriend, you about to bust your head against the concrete because, because that is not about to happen. Whatever you date, you dating him to turn him into something, you should not do that. You should understand that wherever you met him at, that's where he
at. Who he is.
That's
plus
who he is.
Plus it's stressful. Like managing one relationship. Trying to make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and not worrying about the other person not doing what you think they're supposed to be doing are both building together. And then, and again, from experience, when you involve other people outside of the relationship at any level of intimacy, whether even if it's just like complaining to someone about your relationship,
it makes
that relationship so much harder because
I have that in my book too.
Yeah, you can't that's setting your relationship up for failure.
I call it the term I use in my book is called huddling. So like, you know what happens in the huddle?
Yeah.
Like you are having a private conversation about game planning to win. Mm. And can you imagine if you huddled
next to the opposing
team? It's like literally handing them your playbook and saying, oh, we know how to beat them. Because everybody doesn't have your best interest. So literally take time to have private conversation with just you and your mate to game plan. How are we going to execute these certain things? Or how are we going to win in this relationship?
And this is what men got to do too. Have the difficult conversations now.
Yes.
Like, don't wait till like you so in love. Like, say what's real right now. Like, say what's on the table. Put them, have them hard conversations, man. Go ahead, knock it out. Like, because you don't want to get to a point where you're far down in a relationship and now you got to talk these deep conversations. And two, something I've learned through my failed marriage is that communication is only the first step. It's comprehension that's key.
Yeah.
So like people are like, communication is key. I'm like, yeah, we always communicate. We always talk. But I didn't understand what she valued. She didn't understand what I value. Like she didn't understand like what I pictured the family as and what she pictured the family as. So like comprehension, expectations, all that stuff matters the most.
And
I was like,
that has to happen before you get married.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't.
Well, both.
Get it.
Both.
Well, yes, but you should have an understanding of those answers, those values, the desires before. Because that's why you base the decision off of.
Man.
Can I do this?
I got
or
married
not?
For all the wrong reasons. I'll tell anybody that, man. Like, man,
I'm glad you realized that. I told Ray that one day. I was like, why is James getting married? One. Two, why is he getting married to this person?
Man.
And he was like, I don't know. I'm going to.
But I'll tell you, you got to be careful who you connect with when you vibrate in low.
Yes.
At that place, I was at a low vibration. I was getting married. My father had just died. My aunt had just died. Mm-hmm. And I was connected to someone because I was just looking for something to feel something some type of way.
Yes.
So you gotta be very careful you connect with when you vibrate in love.
Who you are and where you
are. Where you
That's are. Why I keep saying I like to play up.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go after something I'm not qualified for.
Because that's where you're trying to
extend. I know I'm going to elevate. So, like, this level is not going to interest me anymore in 6 months. I'm not going to be here.
Yeah.
So, if everything around me looks really good right now.
But I feel like any good woman, is they elevate in a way. Like, it's kind of like If you give a woman a seed, she give you a baby. You give a woman a house, she makes it a home. Mm-hmm. Like any good woman elevates in their way. You know what I'm saying?
The relationship, yeah.
Yeah. So like, I just feel like that's ooh, that's powerful. I did not want to go here.
No, I have a way of pulling stuff out.
I know, right.
I was like, oh, yeah, he going to talk about it. As soon as he said, I'm not talking about it, yes, you are.
About that.
But no, I want to, if you're open to it, I want to suggest a mentor for you here. Somebody I think will be really good.
Okay.
That is, when you say the Pastor Vernon Wave, I'm assuming you mean someone who's spiritual.
Spiritual, who actually loves their wife, who's not cheating on their wife, who wants, you know what I'm saying, who wants to build and grow.
Perfect guy.
Yeah, because I don't want nothing to do with none of that. Like
handsome, not like... Yeah. Yeah. Ugly wife is beautiful. Some money.
That's the wave I'm on.
I have two guys in mind for you right now that are in Cleveland, Ohio. One guy, he has, like, he's a singles coach.
Okay.
And he's married. He's only, he has not cheated on his wife. I know this to be true.
Okay.
And he was one of the whores that turned into a husband.
Yeah.
You know, so he's not the guy that was like a virgin, waited until he met one person and then got...
Yeah.
That's unrelatable sometimes.
Yeah,
so someone you can relate to around our age.
Because me and Ray, it's probably too much information, but me and Ray, we was in a student Christian association like when we was in college. And I remember...
that's too unrelatable.
I remember...
Just the name of it sounds like.
We was a student Christian association. And I remember like, it was a dude in there. I don't want to talk about where he's from, but he was not attractive. And we used to be complaining about, you know, our failures and how we were trying to like be celibate and, you know what I'm saying, our struggles, stuff like that. And he was just like,
oh, it's so easy for him, right?
Yeah, it's easy. I'm like, I was like, man,
nobody
you ugly.
Wants you.
You ugly. It's so hard for you. Bro, I literally had girls break into my dorm room when I was in college, bro. Like, so I don't know.
I can imagine.
I don't know what dudes is like, how that, man, like, I don't know. Bro.
Yeah, so
like,
this guy that I'm thinking, I think would be perfect because I just did a live with him and he was talking about, so he would stay celibate for 8 years.
Oh, you can have that.
No, after, not because he wanted to.
Okay.
Before he was married, he was celibate for 8 years.
Yes. Wow. Like, he was sleeping around so much, it kind of ended up happening because he was like, he felt like celibacy was like the highest form of purity in his spirituality. Like, anything else he could do, and this was so challenging for him.
Right.
And now he dated his wife for a while, you know, and they were celibate together, but he was like, it just kind of happened because... he just knew, like, man, if I fail at this, I'm not ready to be a husband. Whether that's true or not, that was his journey.
Right.
But he talked about how so many women were, like, throwing themselves at him and how challenging it was. But changing the men he had around him is what really helped him, like, sustain that. And it wasn't a goal. It just ended up happening. Like, for me, it's easier for me to not have sex when I'm searching for a certain type of man.
Right.
Because every man, I'm like, nope, you ain't, can't move. You know, it's like, I'm not going to waste my time on that because I know what I'm looking for.
Right.
So when he really knew what kind of wife he was looking for, it was easier to be like, no. Now, the waiting part, when you feel like, God, how long is it going to
be?
You
right, right. God, what are we talking about
but
here?
But now, in hindsight, and I'm not a man, so I can't speak for him. I'm just telling you what his story is and how powerful it is. And how I know, like, he would be able to coach you through that season and you would be able to relate. Yeah. And so, and these are not, like, lame guys.
Okay.
Because no, I know how that can be. Yeah. I can't have a lame mentor. Like, as a woman, I need a beautiful woman.
Right.
Who has some money, who's been in the limelight.
Absolutely.
Who's dated some status people. Because you can't relate to me if you haven't.
Right.
Like, somebody from the neighborhood who's been married 3 years and both of them are unattractive, you can't teach me anything. I'm just sorry. Like, hey, that's it. You might be able to teach me how to cook a meal.
Because, like, that, bro, I do not take advice. Like it's this dude, man. He's a overweight pastor, right? You know what I'm saying? Very overweight. And I'm like, bro, I don't care about nothing. Just talking about you don't.
We don't have the same life.
You can't teach. You can't tell me nothing about nothing. Like, you obviously, I don't think you love the Lord because you don't even love yourself.
Correct. I do think it's a form of sin to continue to be overweight and you're in the pulpit.
Period.
It is. It's gluttony. This period, you don't got to be in the pulpit.
But
I'm talking about like...
I hear what you're saying.
As a pastor.
Sure. And they glorify their eating and bad eating and bad
habits. Yeah, but it's like the Bible talks about so much about taking care of your body. Your body is a temple. Training your body as an athlete. You know, like they
gloss over that.
They talk about pictures of how, like, Samson and how strong they were and how good they looked. And it's like, they're describing this for a reason.
Absolutely.
I don't, you know, they're not praising the men who were like so overweight that they couldn't even walk around and they were having diabetes.
How can you even function in that time being like that?
Exactly. So it's like, and you know, they did a lot of fasting. It's like, you'll die.
Yeah.
You know, but so I get what you're saying as far as like not being relatable. Like I have to be very mindful of who I can even get information from. Because it's like,
bro.
Do you even know how I'm experiencing, like what my pressures are?
Right.
Like the type of guys that I'm saying no to. You know, you may have no understanding.
Yeah, you don't know what it's like to turn down a celebrity. You don't know what that's like. You don't like
we're
like,
talking about some fine rich men.
Yeah, you don't know
what
that's
like. You know, who are like generous and charming.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Lord, what do you want me to do? Yeah. You know, like, you just want me to fail to say that. You know, but it's like, you have to be able to teach me how you overcame that.
Right.
And then you still got your husband.
Right.
You know, so.
And how to be a good husband. Like, for me, it's like, how do I be a husband? Because I feel like that's something I didn't understand either, because I've never seen it. I never saw what I would say is a healthy man loving a woman. I've never got a chance to experience.
Are you familiar with D'Andre Whitfield? He played on the Cosbys. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So he wrote a book. I got to get you connected. Him and I are looking to join a community.
Okay.
I respect him, not just because he's a famous actor.
Which one was he? Was he?
He was a bald-haired dude. He was Vanessa's boyfriend.
Okay, yes, on the Cosby's. Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so if you pay attention to my page, which you may not because of our algorithm, I've been doing lives with him very
okay,
often.
Yeah, I have seen him, but I knew I've seen him. I was like, what do I recognize
that's
this guy
where
from?
He's from.
Okay,
so
cool.
He wrote a book called Male Versus Man. And it literally breaks down the difference of a man and a male.
Right.
And a man is a husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a male is a person that has a penis and a male counterpart. That's it. Like, body part. He has pecs. He has a penis. He's masculine. That is a male. A man is earned. It's a responsibility. Mm. It is a title. It comes with something. It takes years of training, development. And I've been reading it. This is how I learn how to treat a man, because I read about how a man thinks or how he should think.
Man, I wish I had hold on.
Like a hot button? Like a,
man, I wish I had a bomb on here. Did you hear that, women? She's learned how to treat a man from reading about a man. So that can work vice versa.
How can I take care of something that I don't understand?
I don't understand it.
Did you hit the right button, though?
Yeah, it was a rock and roll thing.
Like,
yes.
How can I? How can I care for my hair if I don't understand how it works, how it grows, what makes it healthy, what breaks it off? I can't. If I just put anything in my hair, it's going to not look beautiful. It's going to break off. So most stuff I learn about men is by having conversations, spending time with them, and reading books. And I'd be like, this is how I learn how visual men are.
Yeah.
I read a book called For Ladies Only. Mm. They also have a book called For Men Only, but it was literally just a book of they've surveyed thousands of men, asking them questions about how they think, how they feel, what they like, and they broke down how visual men are. I can use what I look like as a weapon. Yeah. I can arm or disarm my man specifically based off of what I look like.
Absolutely.
Period.
And I was like,
100%.
Jackpot. You know, like, if you understand how visual they are, then you can start understanding him looking at another woman is maybe not that serious, or it's extremely very serious, depending on what you look like.
Yeah, because I think that was something that Kevin Samuels got a lot of slack about, because he started get on women about their appearance, and I think like people like, but that's not right. But sweetheart,
it's
you want
to? It's just the way our mind works.
It's not.
I don't understand that to save my life. When I'm in a relationship, my looks step up, because first of all, I'm competing with somebody I ain't met. Mm. I don't know where she at, but she's somewhere. And I just always want, and this may not always be possible, but we strive for things whether we can get them or not, right? So I want to always have my man, I want to be on my man's mind a lot. I'm going to say all the time because that's unrealistic. But if he's not around me, I want him to think about me, what I'm looking like, what I smell like. I want him to see a girl and compare us.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, my baby looks just as good as that. Or her hair just, whatever the case is. Not like, dang, I wish my girl would put that on. Dang, I wish she would. Where do you get this from? This would be nice for my wife. Like, I don't want it to be like, I'm just down bad unless we got to go somewhere. You know? Or you know how most women only get dressed for something that ain't got nothing to do with him.
Mm.
You know, like, get the same outfit you about to put on for girls' night at brunch. Wear that in the house sometimes.
And when y'all go out, when y'all do stuff.
You would hope, you know, but like the same dating outfits you wore to get him, like the version, the body version you have now, put them same outfits on, you know, while you're still dating him. But like, women got to understand that. But I learned this based on reading material. So anyways, I'm reading the book Male Versus Man to understand the differences. Number one, so I can identify a man and a male, because sometimes I meet a lot of males who are not men. And then you can't be mad that a male is not acting like a man. He hasn't developed into one yet. So, but the way I'll be able to identify that is by learning the difference in the information. So I'm saying all that to say, Dondre is going to be a great resource for you. He's handsome. He's rich. His wife is beautiful. She's also an actress. He comes from a different background. His father was incarcerated most of his life. Like, he's not a square lame guy. And he's been with one woman. He's been married now for 22 years.
Wow.
To the same woman. That's crazy, right? When I find men like this, I try to push them to every man that I know.
Yeah, because that's the one thing that I think men, we're not, especially black men, we're not utilizing our big brothers, our uncles, our fathers. They're like,
There's definitely untapped resources around us, especially ourselves. We're our biggest resource.
And that's what I'm trying to become to women like me, is a resource. You know, like, I haven't achieved it all. I don't even pretend to. But the few things I have achieved.
Are you open to mentoring young ladies, though? Like,
what the whole thing is going to be about. You know, like a community where I'm working with women. I mean, I'm coaching them. I don't want to use the word mentorship.
You're definitely coaching them up.
I'm coaching them to, when you're coaching someone, you're basically saying, I signed up for this.
Yeah.
Right? Like, mentorship sometimes can be like, I'm forcing you to be doing something.
Right.
You know, so if you signed up to play this game, I can coach you to get to a high level.
Oh, okay.
You know, so once women say, you know what, I need help in this arena. How did you do this? How did you do that? And even though I'm not married, I've been married.
Yeah.
So I've learned a lot about marriage. I know what doesn't work. You know, I know some things that do work.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I've been engaged a couple times. I think my first engagement, I was 14. You know, I can definitely help you attract a man. You know, now once you get him, do you want to keep him or not? Let's talk about how you can sustain him. Let's talk about the things that don't ignite his fire. You know, designate and ignite him. Like, a lot of it has to just do with who we are, and we think it's all about the man. So that's a whole other conversation, but that's what mostly my playbook is filled with. Also, there's a bunch of real life marriage advice from married people. I call them like Hall of Famers, you know.
Wow,
Ja Rule's in my book. He's been married 23 years to the same woman.
Wow.
He put a quote in my book. John Sally has been married 30 years. He put a quote in my book. Coach Holland has been married 41 years.
Coach Holland, man, that's my guy too.
Clevelander's guy.
I love
him.
Coach
and his wife are in my book giving some game, you know. So it's not just me, the single girl, talking. It's like I got real research information in here that everybody can utilize, but for now I'm using it for women. So I'm gonna put you with some people though.
Thank you for that. That's I really appreciate it.
They got two potential clients, by the way.
Oh, both of you. No, so me and Dondre are working on starting a community where he's for the men, I'm for the women. And we're both saying like, women are right and men are right.
Yeah.
And men are wrong and women are wrong.
Yeah,
we both 100%. Equally need the same amount of work.
It's not
one versus the other. Like, we try to make it out to be. So I'm going to do my due diligence to help the women. He's going to help the men. And the difference is, I help a lot of men, too, when I talk. And he helps a lot of women when he talks.
Absolutely, because you make it relatable.
Exactly. It's a safe space of saying, you can grow here, you can learn here, we're going to hold each other accountable. And we just did a small Zoom last week. It was for women, but it was six guys on there. I was so impressed. I said, I thank you guys for being here. And he was the one, and I said, these are men, this six men that's showing I want to get better.
Yeah,
because she was only talking to women, and I still came on here. But they were there for Dondre. So it's in the building processes, but we're going to get it popping.
We're going to get this thing popping. We're going to get better. We're going to heal as a people. We're going to work, and we're going to support each other. We're going to create legacies of love and generational wealth. We're going to do that all this time around, y'all. So
Amen. Make
sure y'all go ahead, support Sabrina Parr. Follow her at Get Up to Par.
Par with two R's.
Two R's, par. Yes.
And Sabrina, thank you again.
Thank you for joining us. You had
so many, I don't even want to call them nuggets, but you had just so much that you shared that gems. I think would, if someone took the time
games,
to listen.
We'll call them gay.
Gay, sure.
I got a lot of gay.
But it comes from a place of like you being vulnerable, being honest with yourself and with us, and I just want to say I appreciate that. I think that's a model that is good for a lot of people. And
I'm glad you guys reached out to me. No, I had no idea you had a podcast here. I don't know a lot about Cleveland anymore, and I'm trying to. So if anyone's listening and you want me to come on the show, I want to come on the show. I want to be there. I want to talk. I want to get back to my Cleveland roots, and I've been gone for a while. I'm back now.
You know, you're a legend. They're gonna be reaching out, especially at
I want them to, but I want to have these conversations, and I want people to see I'm really down to earth. I'm humble. I'm we can talk.
Yeah, once they know you, they know the real.
I think people assume come. Yeah, no, this is where I started everything here. I'll never feel anything's wrong with people here for me or whatever. This is home forever, no matter if I leave again, which I will be. But once I'm done starting my youth program and everything, so I want to be a part of people who are building things, people who have already built things. I want to be a part of it. So however I can help and bring some exposure to your platform, I would love to do that. And if you guys ever want me to come back, go on, let's do it.
Yeah, especially for the 30-second.
Yes, I got to beat 12. Yeah. I got to be whoever beats 12.
As customer on these parts, thank you.
Thank you. My dog.